Please turn with me in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we'll read beginning at verse 28. We'll finish chapter 2, 28, 29, and then we'll read the first 10 verses of chapter 3. First John chapter 2, beginning verse 28. This is God's Word. "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." So far, the Word of God. When I read these words, I am forced to ask myself, am I even a Christian? Because the verses that what John says to us here seems to say that Christians stop sinning. Christians don't practice sinning. I sin. Sorry, I'm a very sinful man, and I'm not exaggerating. I know me, and you can check with Gwen after this is all over. I'm sure she'll assure you I'm a sinful man. Are we supposed to understand from this that Christians don't sin? Or if Christians sin, then what is John? How, if it's okay that Christians are not perfect and they actually sin, then what is John getting a hold of here that I'm missing? Okay, well, I'll go home now. I don't understand it, so we'll all go home. No, I have a few things to say about it, but don't you just click me off there, okay? There's a struggle. There's an ordinary struggle where Christians understand there's something inconsistent going on. And when John talks in these categories of practicing sin and sinning, we're not we need to be clear. We don't need to be confused. So here's the key, okay? Now in chapter 3, verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. That's the verse I want to preach about, okay? But I can't get to that today because I got to talk about this before we can get to that next week, all right? So there's a lot of good stuff that's yet to come, I hope. But right now we need to talk about sin. John makes reference to practicing sin and sinning 10 times in these few verses. 10 times John talks about practicing righteousness and practicing sin. Chapter 2, verse 28. Chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Now, in verse 28, John says Jesus is coming back. Your Bible needs to be open in front of you, and you need to be looking at these verses with me, okay? In verse 28, John says, little children, abide in him, abide in Christ. And that takes us back to the Gospel of John. Abide in me as I... like a vine abides a branch abides in the vine. It's all around us. The trees and the bushes and the flowers, they all demonstrate to us that branches abide in the main root. So we need to abide in Christ. We need to be living in Christ. We need to be living with Christ. One day Christ will appear. He will return. It will be, all things will be ended. The sky will roll away, and we will find ourselves at the judgment, in the presence, the very presence of God. You cannot live a secret life as if God is not real. You cannot live a life as though one day you won't have to face Him. He's going to appear. You're going to be with Him. We have communion once a month. We sit at the Lord's table. You can't sit at that table without understanding that one day we will sit at the wedding feast of the Lamb. We sit at this little tiny metaphorical, symbolic feast in order to keep our minds focused on the fact that there is an incredible feast day coming when we will sit at the table with Jesus. You do not want to come to that day and Christ has a stranger. You don't want to say, I love the Lord God, but He's a stranger. You don't want to say, I love Jesus, but He's a stranger. You don't want to say, I'm a disciple of Christ, I follow Christ, but you never walk with Christ. So John makes a distinction, and he says there's a difference between practicing sin and sinning. First example, verse 29, is the example of practicing consistently walking with God, okay? Chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Okay, makes a practice. What's he saying? Chapter 3, verse 6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Now, that's not the same word as practicing. Granted, that's not the same word, but keeps on is the same concept. It's synonymous. To practice sin is to keep on sinning. Because practice means habitual, routine, regular. To practice sin means to just keep on, keeping on, keeping on. Verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as God is righteous. chapter 3, verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning, see, direct contrast. Verse 7 talked about practicing righteousness because God is righteous. Verse 8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. Verse 10, by this it's evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Practice, practice, practice. I looked up the word practice in the dictionary. It's not a theological book, but it's legitimate. Verse 1, meaning number 1. Practice is to repeat an activity regularly so that you become better at it. Practice, to repeat an activity regularly so that you become better at it. Definition number 2. To practice means to do something regularly, especially as a habit, as a custom, as a tradition. And fourthly, to practice is to work in a particular profession, such as a physician or a lawyer. We say that he practices law or she practices medicine. Okay, let's ponder those concepts a little bit. Let's think about that just a little bit, okay? Definition 1, to repeat regularly an activity so that you can become better at it. A person who practices wants to learn how. They want to gain proficiency. They want to gain a familiarization so that they stop being awkward. I had an elder in my first church, and he was in love with the bow and arrows when that wasn't cool. In the 50s, he was hunting with Fred Bear. And he loved the longbow, Sterling Harrell. Sterling Harrell was his name. And he was so funny. He had so many funny stories. You know, he was just a good old boy, hunter, typical guy, just like you. Sterling used to say that practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So, if you're excited about something, you practice because you want to get better. And that's what John is driving at. That's what this kind of sinning is. There are people who want to call themselves Christians, but they really love to sin. They're interested in it, and it's intriguing, and they want to learn more about it, and they'll make friendships. They'll go out and they'll find people that are accomplished and have erudite, excellent skills that they can learn from. They want to learn to talk the lingo. They want to be able to hang out with people that like to do this particular thing that you want to practice and master. To practice is to want to master a thing. To practice is to want to do it. It's to want to be involved in it. It's to rehearse it. It's to concentrate on it. It's to examine just how to do it to the max. It's not accidental. So John is pointing out that how you regard sin tells a lot about you. And I'm telling you, there's a difference between practicing sin and sinning. Christians are not going to be perfect in this life. Christians cannot attain a level of holiness. The choir sang this morning, these are holy hands. And we know that when we come into worship, we come into the holy presence of God. And there may be certain uncomfortableness in that whole concept because we know we're sinners. We can't stop being sinners. The leopard cannot change its spots. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin. We cannot change our sinfulness left to ourselves, all by ourselves. You can't change your life. You're going to sin. And God has deliberately left us in a state of imperfection so that we'll humbly always keep returning to Him. Forgive me, Lord, I did it again. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I did it again. I mean, that's the expression of a genuine Christian. The difference between practicing sin, concentrating so that you can eventually attain the level of being a professional. I'm a practicing physician. I practice the law. I practice sin. Chaplain stories. You get tired of chaplain stories? I'm sorry. But, the chaplain is supposed to walk around, okay? The chaplain is just supposed to be able to report to the CO and the XO the morale of the crew. So, you walk around spaces and you go to officer's call and you go to staff meetings and you go to all these places and meetings and every now and then some sailor will bust out in all these expletives and colorful language. I guarantee you, sailors are far better at the mastery of profanity than Marines. And I'm use this as an illustration because I want us all to be lily white people who don't. But when somebody will bust out in all of this effusion of sewage out of their mouth, they'll look over at the chaplain and say, "Oh, sorry, chaplain. Sorry, the chaplain's here. Don't say that kind of stuff around the chaplain." Because that's their way of playing with you. They don't care. You know, I'm not the guy who has the snappy comeback. I just don't know what to say, but it would have been cool if I'd ever thought maybe to look over at here we are in the machine shop and there's 12, 15 sailors standing around and they're all mocking the chaplain because they think, oh, he's lily white and he doesn't ever understand anger or profanity or he lives in a holy world and he just kind of floats over the ground and doesn't live in the real world where people cuss and get angry and don't have self-control over themselves. I thought to myself, I should, in a situation like that, I should have said, "Oh, you want me to teach you how to stop?" Because he doesn't want to stop. Sailors are, sailors wear a laboratory coat when it comes to profanity. You know, they're doing original research. They're working towards their PhD of profanity. They're trying to invent new ways to cuss. They don't want to stop. And they aren't ashamed. And they don't think it's wrong. And they're certainly not sorry that they said it. This is what John is saying about practicing sin. People who practice sin live it, breathe it, like it, don't want to give it up. They practice it. And here, there are several reasons why these things are not acceptable to the Lord. There are several reasons here why John says you can't live this way if you're really a Christian. Verse 5, reason number one, reasons why Christians don't practice sin. Reason number one is because Christ is sinless. Christ is at odds with sin. In verse 4, John had said everyone who makes a practice of sinning is lawless, is violating the law. But I'm not concentrating on that because the whole tenor of the passage is that there's got to be a sincerity about coming to God. There's got to be a genuineness about living in the presence of God that makes you want to please Him, makes you want to be like Him. When He appears one day, is He going to be a stranger to you? So what John deals with in the fifth verse is Christ Himself. Verse 5, he says, "You know that He, Jesus, appeared to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin." No one, verse 6, no one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. My mama used to catch me in stuff. My mama used to confront me with stuff, and she'd stop me because I had to live with her. I had to be at home. I had to be part of the home. I couldn't just run off and be by myself. I didn't want to be kicked out of the family. I'd get caught and I'd be embarrassed, but I wanted to live with mama still. So she'd straighten me out. No one sins. No one practices continuously keeping on sinning and thinks they're going to have Jesus' approval. He's sinless. Jesus is sinless. There's no sin in Jesus. He isn't like the sailors in that workspace. He doesn't accept it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't think it's normal. He doesn't feel at home with it. He's sinless. So don't tell me, I've always had a weakness for original cuss words. That's just the way I am. No, not if you're walking with Jesus. And you could change the illustration. You don't have to think about cussing. But there's 1,000 ways that people conform themselves to the world and the flesh and the devil. But because Jesus is sinless, and verse 2 tells us we're going to see Him and we'll be like Him. We're going to see Him and we will be like Him. So there's something that has to happen in the day-to-day life of a Christian, that there's a resistance to sin. There's a caution about sin. There's an uncomfortableness about sin. There's a brokenness of willingness to confess and ask for forgiveness, because sin displeases. Christ was sinless before He was incarnate. Christ was sinless before He came into this world. Christ is sinless now and forever, like He always was. Christ was sinless when He walked this earth. And people liked Him. People really admired Him. They wanted to be with Him. And you do too, Christian. You do too. So when you sin, you admit it, and it bothers you, and you don't make peace with it. You're sorry it happened. You may be confused, but you don't accept it. That's not the normal. That's not the real you. The real you is to please Christ, Christian. Reason number 2 that Christians do not practice sin is in verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Whose side are you on, Christian? Sin isn't neutral. Sin isn't popularly approved. Sin isn't what people like to do and accept. Sin isn't the new norm. Sin is of the devil. That's pretty radical. Sin is of the devil because he's been sinning from the beginning. The purpose of the devil is to promote sin. The purpose of the devil is to proliferate sin. The purpose of the devil is to make you, turn you, keep you into a professional sinner so that you practice the profession of sinning. A Christian can't live that way and go to heaven. A Christian can't call himself a child of God, and that's the predominant characteristic of his or her life. Christians have to be like Jesus, not like the devil. There has to be a break. There has to be a fight. There has to be a struggle against the will of the devil for your life. And people make lots of excuses. They make lots and lots of excuses. I can't help myself. I do that. Well, you know, I work in a place where everybody's like that, and it rubs off on me. I can't help it. A Christian, I really believe Christians can commit any sin. I believe a Christian can fall into any sin. I believe a Christian can fall for any temptation. I believe a Christian can be guilty of any kind of sin thrown out there in front of you. But I do not believe that a Christian can be comfortable with it. I don't think a Christian can just live in a sin long term and just say, that's the way it is, that's the way I am, that's just what I do, I don't mean anything by it. No. The devil wants you to practice his stuff. He wants you to concentrate. He wants you to learn muscle memory so that you can do it without thinking. So there's no excuses. I can understand how it happens because we're vulnerable. We're not sinless. But I cannot understand why you would just be indifferent. I really think Christians talk too much. I think Christians have reduced the Christian faith to certain little words. Somebody sneezes and they say a little word. Somebody says hello and you have a conversation, you're about to leave, and they say a little word. Have a blessed day. There's a conversational, superficial Christianity that is tepid. And I think the unbelievers are sick of it. I don't think the unbelievers are impressed by it. I think people watch. I think people watch to see, are the Christians different? Are the Christians any different? Will a Christian do anything? Calls himself a Christian. Will he do anything that we do? Will a Christian ever say, no, I can't go there, I can't do that, I can't, no thanks, I don't want any of that. The devil has had so much influence on church-going people that the world, the behaviors, the sin patterns, are they predominant? Are we professionals? Are we practicing? Where do we stop? Reason number three that Christians do not practice sin is in verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. You can't be a Christian if God did not take hold of you and give you the Holy Spirit to cause you to live in Christ. Nobody makes themselves to be a Christian because they decided to clean up their act. Nobody makes themselves to be a Christian because they wanted to become more moral and more respectable. That's not real Christianity. Real Christianity is when God himself takes hold of your life, enters into your heart, and causes you to live where you were dead. Only God can give you new life. And where the life of God is growing, There's a fight against sin. There's a displeasure with yielding to temptation. There's a disgust with the crudity and the vileness and the filthiness that sin pours on you. You're not at home with it. You're not comfortable with it. I think there's lots of ways to misunderstand what I'm trying to preach about. Preachers are funny, you know. You ought to think, you know, well, what was that preacher thinking about when he wrote that sermon? I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about Monday afternoon. I'm thinking about Thursday morning. I'm thinking about Friday night. I'm thinking about how we need to be different. And it's not an easy question. You could take all this stuff that I've tried to say and you could think, well, do you know, the preacher just doesn't want us to cuss. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Please don't misunderstand. I'm talking about a change of heart. I'm talking about a freedom to walk with Christ so that you like Him and so that you have, like John says, confidence not to shrink from Him. Chapter 2, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him at shame when He comes. Can you imagine the return of Christ? Can you imagine the day when Christ returns? We need to think about that a lot more. Christ will return one day, and when He does, will you shrink from Him? Uh-oh, oops. Oh, wasn't counting on this. This is not good. Will you have confidence that Jesus Christ, your Savior, has returned and you're eager for Him to embrace you and for you to embrace Him? Or will you be ashamed? Or will you be of little or no confidence that He really is your God? This message will follow you out that door. This message will not stay in this building. This message will need to encourage you and strengthen you and help you, or it will need to convict you on Monday afternoon. Because what the Christian is in the street, what the Christian practices in the field, what the Christian rehearses in the locker room, what the Christian repeatedly develops into habits, reflect your relationship with Christ, reflect your desire to please Him who is sinless and to walk with Him, to be free of the wickedness of the devil, and to be alive with the seed that was born in you when the Spirit of God changed your life. There's a lot of things going on in the world today that need to stop. I believe the Christians need to act like Christians. The Christians need to walk and talk and act like they're walking around with Jesus, like they like Jesus, and like they're being careful of what Jesus is watching and seeing us do. The Christians need to be conscious that they live with Jesus, and they live because Jesus came into their life, and they don't have to live like all the wickedness and filth that goes on around them. Father in heaven, we are quite blessed that even in our sinfulness, even in our incomplete imperfections, that you encourage us that we're not practicers of sin. We're not people devoted to sin and in love with sin. We find this war in our lives that we're inconsistent, but we don't like sin. We don't like the devil, and we don't like displeasing you. We want to please you. We want to be righteous. So work in our hearts, Father. We're quite challenged by the Scriptures because sin gets at us. Sin gets after us. Temptation comes all around us and tricks us and moves us before we know it, before we're alert, ambushes us, trips us up. We have problems with sin, Lord, but we don't like it. We don't want it. We don't find it gives us help or pleasure or anything lasting that's worth having. We're disappointed in ourselves a lot of times that we get so easily tripped up or trapped. But thank you, Father, that in that situation you distinguish us from those who are in love with sin and practicing and trying to become proficient in it. Deliver us, Father, from being that kind of hypocrite. Deliver us from being so unconcerned and disinterested. Deliver us from just blindly forgetting that there is a day when we will meet you. You are coming back. You are going to appear and be invisible no more. Cause us, Lord, to have great hope in that day, great delight in you. And so, by your very presence in our life, rescue us from our own sin and temptation. These things we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.